with me now. Come with me now. Leadership Platform, I'm Adrian Groenewald. Great to be with you, and we've been the last hour. This, however, is the Leadership Masterclass from 12 to 1, and the first half hour, pretty much most of it, is a master lesson. And in a moment, I'll tell you what it's about. You can visit leadershipplatform.com, 2 P's in the middle, one word for all things leadership. And in the studio, we've got our panel, as usual, Rich Simmons and Louis Groenewald. Welcome, gentlemen. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Good to be here.
So you're ready for this conversation. It's going to be a heavy, heavy but very important discussion around behavior change. We'll talk about that in a moment. Our guest who will join us soon in the studio is Andrew Hannington, CEO of Grant Thornton SA. It's a big business globally. They've recently been involved in a merger, I think, and they're growing. So we'll have him join us in a few minutes, and he'll be with us all the way through to 1 o'clock, pretty much. In the second half of the show, that's the practical conversation, even though our first half hour is also somewhat practical. But we will talk to him practically about these issues. And at 12:30, or I think today it'll be 12:25-ish, we're going to put a very interesting man on the line all the way from New York, Dr. Steve Maraboli. He's a behavior expert. He deals with leaders globally. Rich, you've engaged him quite often. He's coming to South Africa in September, I think.
That's correct, yes.
So this is a bit of a taster of the man. And he's worked with American presidents. He's very confident, knowledgeable, charismatic American who will share principles of leadership, essence of leadership, and maybe we can also learn something around behavior change from him. So, that's the day in essence, or the show. Last week we spoke about traps leaders fall into in this modern age, traps that they fall into. You can download that podcast, and it's just 9 traps in essence, or go to our website and you can read about it as well. Today, behavior change. I've had this conversation with quite a lot of so-called experts. How do you change the behavior of a leader? Because we really believe when all is said and done, there are 2 expectations of any leader. Really, in simplicity, 2 expectations. The first one is to create movement of the situation that has been thrust upon the leader, be it a branch, company, country, family, church, whatever it is, small business, school, as we've spoken about the last hour. So your first expectation, the first expectation people have of you is to create that movement. Take what you have to a better place. The second expectation is your behavior while doing this. How do you behave while you try and perform, while you try and achieve, try and take something to another level? That is something else that is watched very carefully. We expect President Zuma, President Jacob Zuma, our president, with his cabinet and all his ministers and everyone else to move South Africa to a better place. Of course we do. We all want the country to succeed. And in broad strokes, we expect certain behaviors from him. If we asked you as a listener right now, or the panel, what behaviors do you expect from President Zuma? I mean, people would clearly mention a few things. Rich, 1 or 2 behaviors you expect. Louis, 1 or 2 behaviors you expect from President Zuma?
I think from any leader, we expect integrity, transparency. Those are the 2 that I would expect.
Okay, good ones. Louis?
I'd like him to communicate better. I think that President Zuma is not communicating as well as he can. People around him are not helping him do that.
So be a better communicator. Those are some behaviors, and if we had to open up, we'd get many more. But you're right, and firstly, we expect him to move South Africa. So those are the 2 expectations. I want you to think of those. While it may be difficult to teach leaders how to create movement, because some do it more naturally and others must and can be taught, we find that the great challenge is that of changing a leader's behavior, if in fact you feel it's possible or not. This is what happens. Organizations decide on a certain culture and then expect their leaders to live the culture through their behavior, which often necessitate behavior change. Now, I'll ask Andrew. That's a typical question we could ask him when he's in the studio. What kind of behaviors do you expect of your leaders? You ask the CEO of any major business or of any organization, government or parastatal, semi-government, they will tell you, these are the behaviors I expect from the leaders. Okay, and that is a given. However, It may just be like trying to bend straight a tree that has grown skew. If you take a leader who's 30, 40, 50, and you now say, we've gone on a strategy session, we've got to change the culture of our business, and that will mean the following behaviors from you as a leader. You used to be like this, you now need to behave like that. I mean, that could be a very audacious task. Or perhaps human beings have an advantage over a tree. They can choose. They have free agency and can use this agency to bring about changed behavior. I'll give you a simple example that you would be aware of, and I'm sure, Rich, Louis, you have seen it in businesses. If a functional expert, someone who's a functional expert, fairly junior, young engineer, whatever it may be, is called in and asked for the first time ever to be a leader over a team of experts. So you're a brilliant engineer. We now want you to lead these engineers on a project. What inherent belief does he or she have? Is it, well, now I am going to be served by a couple of people? Or is it, now I am going to serve? That is a fundamental different belief. These two, as I say, fundamentally different beliefs will take the leader on two fundamentally different paths with fundamentally different behaviors. Believing, I think when I became a manager, so-called, first, I think inherently I kind of believed, now I'm going to be served, as opposed to, I now have a greater opportunity to serve. If for this young leader it is about being served, then somewhere on his journey, hopefully sooner rather than later, he will be confronted with feedback and requests, even eventual threats, to change behavior fast. Can he change and how? Someone survives a serious heart attack. What do? Often that results in abrupt lifestyle change in order to stay alive or improve their quality of life. We know of people, especially in South Africa, over the last couple of decades who smoked 60 cigarettes a day, but legislation kicked in and you can't smoke. And look how many people actually change that behavior, that habit. So people can change. In South Africa, we've seen a lot of change. I mean, it used to be a ridiculous idea to have a black boss. It was completely foreign. Now it is an everyday occurrence. Many people resist change as if their very lives depend on it. And of course, the older one becomes, the more challenging it can be to also change. But we live in a changing environment. More than ever before in the history of mankind, everything changes. Technology, economics, politics, everything changes. And in fact, it is accelerating. It is accelerating. So we're going to talk about some guiding principles that determine the ability to personally change and grow. Joining us in the studio is Andrew. Welcome. Come close to the mic there for us. It's good to have you in the studio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Okay, we need our engineer to sort out the mic. So Andrew's just joined us. He's the CEO of South Africa, Grant Thornton, and he's a leader bringing about movement and change there. So in the second half of the show, we'll focus much more on that. Okay. In South Africa, as I say, we've seen incredible changes. Now let's discuss a couple of principles, guiding principles when it comes to changing behavior. Panel, the first one I'm going to mention is the impact of attitude on changing behavior. The impact of attitude on changing behavior. All right, your comments on it. So we talk about leaders have two expectations. One is to create movement. The other one is to change the behavior that you demonstrate while you create the movement. So, Louis, your brief thoughts, and then Rich, attitude. If we say that's one of the first components in changing behavior of a leader.
I think the key component is the attitude of the leader himself. You can't bluff society too much. If you don't have an attitude involving the fact that believing that any kind of growth that I organize myself or my organization is based on my own attitude, it's a reflection of my own attitude. So I've never met a top leader that hasn't got this kind of fresh, teachable attitude towards change. So the first principle is he must really believe that he has changed himself. He is changing all the time. the most dangerous thing for a leader is to believe he's the same that he was 30 years ago. He will not change then.
Okay, so Andrew Hannington, CEO of Grant Thornton SA, you have a team of leaders. Do you have certain behavior you expect from them? Just very briefly.
Adrian, just a correction there, CEO Grant Thornton Johannesburg.
Okay.
We have a national firm, and I'm just the Johannesburg office. Mm. We have 60 directors in Johannesburg, 500 staff in Johannesburg. I lead that group of people. In the auditing and accounting profession, it's about herding cats. So the attitude of one who has to herd cats is one to be positive at all times. It's not an easy job to be herding cats. You can imagine 60 professionals each have their own background, their own intellect, their own abilities.
Yeah.
Not an easy job, Adrian.
Okay, so what behavior do you expect from your leaders, in essence?
Honesty, integrity, hard work, a positive attitude. Okay. We in South Africa, so negative. The whole nation is negatively wired, and I wake up every morning and turn on the positive button and try and turn on that positive button for everybody in my organization and everybody I rub shoulders with on a day-to-day basis.
Switch on their lights.
Now you guys immediately negative, Adrian. Eskom, we have problems with Eskom, don't we? So yeah, that's kind of a bad one to choose. I know you weren't thinking Eskom, but when you say lights, I think Eskom, even Eskom needs some help. It really does need help, and it's going to come right. We're South Africans. One of my favorite sayings is "Mbudu maak 'n plan," and yes, we will, as South Africans, make a plan.
Someone told me once, though. Let me qualify what I said. Is a leader walks in the morning, and then you walk through the office, and it's almost like you switch everyone's lights on. And your attitude, your positive attitude can do that, the way you greet them. I remember being with Raymond Ackerman, walking through the office. He walks into people's offices. This is as chairman, not even as the CEO. And he walks in and shakes their hands. He literally, it's like, I'm a statesman, you want to shake my hand. Kind of, he walks in. Rich, your quick comment about, now we're talking about behavior change. Okay, how do we change a leader's behavior if it needs to change? And the first thing I said was the impact of attitude. Quick comment on that. Can you see that as being an important tenet of it?
Yeah, definitely. Can I tell a little story quickly?
Sure.
So Andrew mentioned this herding of cats. And I heard a leadership story about you in your home, and you've got a dog and you've got a cat. The cat thinks you the king. The dog thinks you the king, because when he gets patted by you, okay, he feels amazing, and he thinks that you must be the king to have acknowledged him. The cat, on the other hand, thinks he's the king. Okay, and that when you actually pat the cat, okay, he knows he's the king.
Mm.
So it's interesting, Andrew's analogy there of herding the cat. So obviously they all think that they're the kings, and Andrew's there to pat them.
Well, it's often it's a professional attitude, isn't it? The really good professional lawyers are. You've got to stroke some egos sometimes, and sometimes you find it the same with other professionals. Okay, the first principle is the significant role that attitude plays in changing behavior and even changing the world, literally, or even just the world around us. Not only does a positive attitude determine the degree to which we believe we can change our own behavior, but it's also a crucial element in believing that others can and do change. In other words, let me explain. As a leader, I cannot really motivate behavioral change in others if I do not have a deep-rooted conviction that I have changed, and that I am still in the process of changing my behavior towards whatever my full potential as a human being and a leader is. People easily sense our own lack of conviction and sincerity in preaching change in their lives. So you've got to change your behavior, buddy, but in the meantime, maybe I need to change my behavior. So attitude is a very important element in changing a leader's behavior, should it need to change. The second one is the role beliefs play in changing behavior. The beliefs I have. Comments on that before I share some thoughts. Anyone? Louis? Beliefs. So I have beliefs inside of me. Surely that drives my behavior.
Already in 20 or 30 years of research into this, believes that it's impossible to perform above your believed values. Otherwise, your beliefs drive your performance. And the saying we use, as you know, is this belief statement, that yesterday's beliefs determine today's performance. Today's beliefs determine tomorrow's performance. If I want to change my performance tomorrow, I must change my beliefs today. Mm. So it's all about this attitude business as well.
Correct. Okay, for people to willingly change behavioral patterns, they need to drill down to their most basic belief system. We are speaking of a person's inner beliefs, both negative as well as positive. And this belief system regulates our deepest values, what we value most. So we believe this, exactly what you said now, Louis. It is humanly impossible to perform above our core beliefs and real values. It is humanly impossible to perform above our core beliefs and real values. And these beliefs and values determine our attitude. So our personal belief and value system determines our attitude and our behavior patterns. For example, and I want your views on this. My belief is a leader is served. Okay, if that's my belief. What would I value most if this is my belief? Rich, that's my belief. Is I'm your leader in the studio. You've got to serve me. So what would I now value? What kind of values would then surface, perhaps?
Well, and you know, the thing is, you wouldn't even, your belief would be so real to everyone else that they'd probably be scared of you.
Yeah.
Okay. And you wouldn't have to even tell them that or say anything. Because of your belief being so strong about other people having to serve you, that they would show fear when they saw you. Mm. They would not show openness. Because if I know that the person's coming to lighten my day, like Andrew's arriving in my office, there's no fear there. I know what his intention is. When he turned on his switch this morning, subconsciously I felt that.
Mm.
When his switch went bad this morning, before he arrived in my office, I knew and I feared him arriving in my office. That's how clear the communication is.
Okay, so our belief drives that,
yeah,
that behavior. Louis and Andrew?
Adrian, yeah, I've got a strong belief system, born and bred in South Africa. I base my belief system on the Bible, and on it you have to preach that, but it is the foundation on which so much of what I do in business stems from. And whether it be the Bible or the Quran, all of these books have the Torah, they have good instruction for the individual about how to deal with people. So my belief system off the Bible, time and again, one goes back to the principles that are put forward in the Bible and build from that. So basic belief system, that's the rock, that's the foundation. On that, we build our leadership style and our leadership attitude and how we react to people.
So many people's beliefs come from that, from something that they learned as they grew up. Something, Christianity or whatever it may be, often Sunday school, you know, but not, I don't know. I guess what we're saying is those beliefs then drive your behavior. And if your belief is that, as you say, for example, Andrew, but you don't believe in serving, then one's missing out. Are you missing your belief system, Louis?
I agree with you. You see, the point is it's not the belief system you say you believe in. It's what you really believe is true. We use the example, Andrew, that a guy hijacks you and he smashes you in an AK-47 against your head. Now, suddenly, you'll fall back on your real belief system. Do you believe that somehow your faith will carry you through? We had a case the other day, quite frankly, my wife and I was walking out, and somebody opened the gate, and a lot of dogs came out, including a big Boer bull. And he just simply charges across the street. And now we're out in the wild quite a bit. He was like a lion. So there's quite a bit of test. And my wife behind me, she was clinging to me, and I had some pepper spray with me. Was I prepared to handle this big dog? I'm not quite sure. I'm just glad he stopped a meter short. The point is your real belief system. And if you have a solid belief system based on universal values, especially those that are deeply significant religious, it will carry you through thick and thin.
It's obvious that when someone changes their beliefs, their values shift, and then they will adopt behaviors that match it. So they will change. I change my belief somehow to realizing I'm a serve. So if I used to believe that I must be served, but I now something happens that triggers my behavioral change, that I must actually serve, then I'll start valuing different things. I'll value people's views. I'll value people. I'll value their feelings and their thoughts. While if I believe they must serve me, I will value an empire. I will value the fear that they might show for me, and I'll misread it as respect, and so on. But change. Someone must confront. To change, you have to confront your emotional as well as mental beliefs that stand in the way of your full potential. Another principle in behavior change is it's process-driven. So behavioral change only occurs when the person concerned goes through a process. Okay, and the process might be something like this. I'm not the expert, but let me share. It goes from the trigger of I must or want to change to confronting a deep-rooted belief, to embracing a new belief, to matching relevant behavior, to practicing that new behavior, to some recognition and reward until it becomes habit. One cannot get away from needing to undergo a process of facing negative as well as positive perceptions about yourself that over time you have come to own. This process assists you to arrive at a deeper understanding of your own self-image. And then there's the other factor. For me to change, more often than not, there is somebody or something that intervenes to inspire behavioral change. And today, Dr. Maraboli might just inspire you to change. Maybe the show does. Maybe something Rich says or something Andrew says. It may be a leader, a friend, or a family member. It may be a book, an article, or an urgent situation, a crisis, or a near-death experience. A great leader always strives to play a crucial role in bringing about a climate for behavioral change, which includes the following. This is what a great leader would do. It's one where he has a personal attitude of changing himself. It's an environment of challenging personal and organizational beliefs through penetrating questions. It's an attitude of continuous improvement, recognition of success, being open, honest, and bold, having conversations that are open, honest, and bold. That is the kind of environment you need as a leader if you want to change behavior of your leaders under you or around you. The role of a facilitator is often required to trigger this attitudinal change. So, the last thing I want to mention, in essence, about bringing about change is the ability as a leader to hold leadership conversations, intense, well-facilitated, dynamic conversations with your people about leadership and about change and about what their philosophy is around leadership and your philosophy, and making sure you have solid conversations. For leaders out there listening, before we go to Dr. Maraboli from New York, can adults change? Okay? For certain they can. If the above mentioned and many other factors are in place, it is a minority that refuse to change no matter what support they receive. And I'm going to throw this question at you as a leader listening now, or when you download this podcast, answer the following questions. Do you see a need for changing, improving as a leader? Do you even see it? Do you really believe that you can change and grow no matter what your age? If you do, you're in good shape. If you don't, you're in trouble, especially in this world that is so dynamic and where change happens so very fast. So that's just a few thoughts on change. We've got on the line, do we? Do we have Dr. Steve Maru? Yeah, we've got all the way from New York, all the way from New York, and Rich and I had a chat with him on Friday, in fact, just around change, around leadership, in essence, a lot of energy. And we've got him on the line from New York, Dr. Steve Maraboli. Thank you for joining us.
What's going on? Good morning from New York.
Yeah. How are you from South Africa?
I'm doing well, listening to you speak about change. And what an honor to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. So we're going to spend just a few minutes with you talking about the essence of leadership. And we're going to listen, and I'll just throw in a few questions. And the panel is more than welcome to also ask a question. But just share with us the essence of leadership, Steve, and then maybe a thought or two on behavior change.
Well, you know, leadership is the most effective leaders are going to be the ones who don't treat leadership as a noun, not as a position, but as a verb, as a way of life. Leadership is about adjustment. The word itself denotes a journey in which you are at the head. So leadership is about change. There is no leadership without change. There is no leadership without adjustment. And I've been so fortunate to work with some of the most successful companies in the world, and that's exactly what you find in their leaders. Adaptability, malleability. You see that they are in a constant process of refining, improving, and enhancing themselves. That's what leadership is. And I've also seen some of the most tragic stories of business where you see businesses just go down and point in no other direction than the leadership that is stuck in a stagnant way that they think is bold, that they think is brave, but in fact is stagnant, and it's the greatest way to destroy your company. A lot of companies don't die of murder, they die of suicide. They die by choice from leadership. So leadership is huge. It's huge in that sense. As far as change goes, let me help those leaders listening right now.
Okay, just before you go, I just want to make sure. So if I don't have that attitude of leadership is change, leadership is adjustment, am I a leader even?
Well, in your mind, that's why I'm saying don't keep that as a noun. As soon as you make leadership your position, you're almost finished.
Yeah.
Leadership is a way of life. Mm. You either lead or you don't. If you're going in your own direction, leadership by definition, you're leading to something. There's a place you're going to. If you don't know where you're going or you're going to your own self-interest, don't be surprised when you're alone. And that's just the way that works. Leadership is a way of life. It's a way of inspiring, again, refining, improving, enhancing yourself so well that you can lead others and inspire others to be the best version of themselves. That's what leadership is, and you can plug that into anything. You can coach a sports team. You can lead a company. It's about staying aware and not being stuck on that, I shouldn't have to do this, I shouldn't have to change, I shouldn't have to, it should not be a part of your leadership mindset. As soon as you're thinking that way, understand you're in trouble. Okay. And I would like to touch on change if I can one second. Because let me free all the listeners of the burden. Of the burden, the delusion of I don't want to change. Take a look at picture. We're human beings on this planet having this human experience. Take a look at a picture of yourself from 10 years ago. And now look in the mirror now. See, folks, you have no choice but to change. Mm. We are change. We are atoms and molecules in motion. That's what we are. We are in a constant process of change. You have no choice but to change. The question is not, are you going to change? The question is, what are you changing into? Are you delusional enough to think you can remain stagnant and survive? The answer is no. I'll spare you the suspense. The greatest tragic stories of business are leaders who chose not to make adjustments. And the inverse is true for the greatest successes. I was telling you and Richard of this little pill, this little blue pill that had gone through this process. They had spent millions of dollars testing it. They had spent millions of dollars marketing, and they had this great pill for blood pressure, and they knew it worked. They thought it was going to do great. They thought they could package it and market it in a way that the people would buy it, and guess what, fellas? It fell flat on its face. Mm-hmm. It had zero interest. Nobody wanted it. They just couldn't get it over to the public. They couldn't. Nobody wanted it, and they thought they lost millions. They thought it was a failure. But the leadership was not stuck on the way things were supposed to be or the way things used to be or the way that I was trained. They didn't stick on that. They noticed that this little blood pressure pill had an incredible side effect. In this case, the side effect was a long-lasting, successful erection. So these leaders made an adjustment and said, okay, let's see what we have. Let's not argue with reality. It's very important as a leader not to argue with reality. Just because you think something should work doesn't mean it will work. And if it doesn't work, pay attention to what is working and follow that. And that's what these leaders did. So they said, okay, so as a blood pressure pill, we have clearly failed. But look at the side effect. What if we repackage, readjust, remarket? And they did. And that little failed blood pressure pill, the same pill, is now what we call Viagra. And it was remarketed, it was repackaged, the same pill was repackaged, remarketed as an erectile dysfunction, and now it's a multi-billion dollar business. And that's all because of leadership. Poor leadership or stagnant leadership, that would just be another company failed in the footnote of companies that fail. Instead, They led a revolution. The argument could be made that they started an entire new industry, not only making billions for themselves but for others. That is 100% because of leadership.
Attitude, and it starts with that attitude. I mean, it could have
been
so different.
Everything's an attitude. That's everything you do is based on your agreement with reality. 100% of everything you do stems from your thought process in your mind. We call it the egocentric paradigm in behavioral science. Nobody actually touches reality. 100% of your entire life is experienced in your mind. And it's experienced through the process of your perspective, which is your agreement with reality. So attitude, it could be the only thing. And so you have to pay attention to what your thought process is, and you have to pay attention to whether you're flowing or not. And if you're not flowing, you too, I promise you, will be a footnote in the business world, the corporate world, and especially as a leader.
So attitude could be the only thing. Richard, do you have any?
It is the only thing.
It is the only
thing. What's the difference? The attitude and perspective is everything. I said good morning. You said good afternoon. Perspective is everything. Both are true. Shakespeare in Hamlet said, nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. He's absolutely right. There's no actual such thing as a sunset. I can say, oh, what a beautiful sunset. Someone looking at that same sun is telling someone else, what a beautiful sunrise. Both are true. The sun never actually sets. We're on a spinning planet. So the sun is the sun. The sun never actually sets. It never rises. It never sets. It is actually our perspective that gives us that. So yes, sir, attitude and perspective are everything.
Okay, so I'm a CEO of a major big bank. I have 30,000 employees. We've just decided we need a specific culture, and that culture must result in the following behavior that we need to see from our leaders. We're not seeing enough caring, let's say. We're not seeing enough inclusivity. We're not seeing enough consultative leadership, whatever I'm going to call it. What's your tip to me? What are you going to say to me as the CEO? Okay, I come to you and I say, we've got to change the behavior of our leaders. What are you going to say to me?
You have to start training those leaders, and you're going to find the first thing I'm going to tell you is that you're going to end up with a different batch of leaders than you thought you had. There are some who are going to step up and rise and say, yes, great. There are some who are going to step up and say, you know what, this is BS. I don't like it. This is not the way I've done it. But they're going to do it anyway. And there's going to be some that aren't going to do it, and those are going to be replaced. The culture of leadership that denotes another issue with people who think they are leaders. A lot of them want to run their company. And many of them, most leaders, in fact, don't. They do work for other companies. And the position of stagnant mentality that leaders have is, this isn't the way it should be. Again, arguing with reality. So if you're a mid-level manager, you're one of those leaders who are now in charge of initiating this process of the bank, that the bank wants for its leaderships. If you are angry at the system, if you are resistant at all to the system, it's not the system's issue. It's not the new bank policy that's the issue. The issue is that you, as a leader, are arguing with reality. And once you are arguing with reality, like all times we argue with reality, it's when you're going to feel pain, it's when you're going to get the resistance, and hopefully you can get out of your own way enough to enact this leadership principle and keep your job at this bank. And so if you're the bank, if you're the bank CEO and you want to initiate this, the first thing I would ask you is, what does that even mean? What does it mean that you want to create a new culture? What does that culture look like? And as with every other goal, as every other goal map, I would say, okay, so where are we now? Where would you like to be? Let's decide the steps that we need to take to get this culture. Cultures aren't created overnight. So let's decide what steps we have to take and what our bookmarks and benchmarks are going to be to create this culture. What kind of leader and what kind of training can we give our leaders if this is something that they're not used to, if this is something that the leadership and business school culture doesn't cultivate, then let's cultivate it for it within it. If this is something that's new, a new trend that this bank wants to start, that this kind of service culture doesn't exist somewhere else, and we're talking about a major movement that needs to be well planned and strategized. But as far as the leaders go, yeah, they're going to have to learn to adapt. It is corporate Darwinism in many ways. It's about adapting. It's not how strong you were in one situation. It's about how good you are as a leader. Leaders are good everywhere. You could put me in a corporation, sir, you can put me in a corporation and I'll do well. You can make me the coach of a sports team. You can make me the coach of a sports team in a sport I've never played and I'm going to do well. Leadership is about adapting, and that's what it is. And the greatest leaders will tell you exactly that. They will tell you exactly that.
Okay, that's the voice of Dr. Steve Maraboli from New York. Before we let you go, Steve, this is just a taster. You're coming to South Africa in September, and maybe we'll have you on before that again, maybe even longer than just 10 minutes. Louis, Rich, and Andrew in the studio, any question for Steve or any comment? Louis?
No, I love his comments. Thank you.
All right.
Dr. Steve, yes, indeed. It's an interesting comment you make about you don't have to be the best player in the team. So to be a sports coach, you don't have to have actually played the sport as a coach, as a leader, as long as you know the principles and you can lead that team to great success. And we see this especially in the sporting world.
Mm. Of course. Leadership is leadership. Leadership is leadership. It's your ability to refine, improve, enhance the players themselves, to get them to work as a cohesive unit. And as any leadership position, it's about you being the best version of yourself. If the stagnancy is within you, the poison is within you, and it's going to reflect in your business, whatever the business may be. And I want to thank you guys for having me on. I look forward to visiting South Africa. I hope the people are ready. I'm bringing my A game, ready to change some lives. So thank you so much, fellas.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Steve. Speak to you soon. Cheers.
The voice of Dr. Steve Maraboli from New York, talking about behavior change and much more. He will be in South Africa in the next few months. We'll keep you posted. We're going to take a 30-second break, and then we'll zoom in on our special guest, Andrew Hannington from Grant Thornton. But also, I'll ask each of you just quickly, tell us what stands out for you from what we just listened to. Stay with us.
I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters. At Sibanye Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye Gold, we are one.